Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Our thoughts and our prayers are with the people of Japan. This is a potentially catastrophic disaster.
Al-Qaeda is actively targeting the American Muslim community for recruitment. Today's hearing will address this dangerous trend.
It's true that specific individuals, including some who are Muslims, are violent extremists. However, these are individuals, not entire communities.
God does not need anything from us. And when we worship, we're receiving things from Him. God is the giver, and we are on the receiving end of His gifts. That's what it means to be a Christian.
Kansas Lutheran truck drivers are no strangers to multitasking. We can both listen to Issues Etc. and pronounce it correctly at the same time.
Well, you would have thought that we were entering a new era of McCarthyism, or perhaps during World War II when there were attempts to detain Japanese Americans here on American soil. Last week, the hearings on the radicalization of Muslims in the U.S. certainly caused a stir. The hearings themselves, in my opinion, were somewhat anticlimactic. I don't know that much actually came out of them. We'll see what they proved or didn't prove. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, March the 15th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about those congressional hearings on the radicalization of Muslims in America. Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch will be our guest for the first 10 minutes of this hour. A little bit later, we'll stay on the same subject, talking with Dr. Uwe Simonetto, an international journalist, on the degree to which liberal Protestantism and liberal Bible scholarship has handed both an apologetic and an actual tool to Muslim extremism. Then Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris will be our guest. She'll tell us about a New York Times essay contest on modern love and what we can learn from it, good and bad. You can join us as we come to you live this Tuesday. 1-877-623-MYIE is our call-in number, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet at @issuesetc. Robert Spencer is director of Jihad Watch and author of several books on Islam, including his latest, The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran. Robert, welcome back.
You're happy to be back, Todd.
You've written recently about these hearings. Tell us about what you have called fear-mongering surrounding last week's congressional hearings on the radicalization of U.S. Muslims.
Well, Todd, you touched on it a bit when you mentioned that this was the dawn of a new era of McCarthyism, as several of the Democrats claimed, and that the very common claim went through all the media, as well as the Democratic side of the aisle, that the hearings somehow demonized all Muslims, as if hearings on the mafia demonized all Italians. Actually, there were some mafia types who tried to claim that, but everybody brushed it aside. Everybody saw through it as the ridiculous ploy that it was. But in this case, nobody seems to care, or nobody seems to wish to notice that they're being played by these Islamic supremacist groups into accepting their victimhood narrative and accepting the idea that these hearings have no place and ought not to be carried out. It's really ridiculous because people are saying, well, really, you should be having hearings on all the threat groups like the KKK and skinheads and such. And I think, okay, there have been jihad attacks or jihad plots designed to commit mass murder in the last few months only in Times Square, in Portland, Oregon, Baltimore, Maryland, Detroit on an airplane, the underwear bomber, and in North Carolina, and in several other places. And those are all Islamic jihadists. And yet we're supposed to believe that the skinheads and the KKK, who in that same time span have carried out exactly zero attempted terrorist attacks, they are just the same kind of threat, and that to zero in on Muslims is somehow discriminatory or hateful when Muslims are responsible for all the terror attacks and plots that we've seen in the United States recently. It's obviously, it's nakedly manipulative and designed simply to shut down these hearings with the ultimate goal of allowing these jihadists to have a free hand.
What did you make of the testimony of Congressman, Minnesota Congressman Keith Ellison, who is a Muslim?
Well, I noticed that he was blubbering and yet no tears were coming from his eyes, and that he was so terribly upset about this trumped-up story that actually has no factual basis, that a Muslim who was killed on 9/11 was suspected of terrorist ties when he was not found on that day, and people didn't know that he'd been killed, and only the real story was revealed when his remains were discovered. This story actually was in an editorial in the New York Times that Ellison was just reading from 2003, but it has been demonstrated to have no basis in fact whatsoever. The only thing you'll find if you do a search on the internet for people accusing this man of being in league with the terrorists are people who are saying it's so terrible that people were accusing him of being in league with the terrorists. You don't actually find anybody actually doing it. And so Keith Ellison's testimony was nakedly manipulative. It was designed to draw attention away from the hearings themselves and to become the story of the hearings, and he largely succeeded in that. Most of the news stories the next day were all about how Ellison broke into tears and is defending this poor victim. When, you know, that guy, I mean, you got to think also, Todd, he's in a very fragile emotional state. If he really is driven to such copious weeping without any tears by this story was unjustly maligned 8 years ago or 10 years ago, imagine how hard it must be for him to get through every day with stories of injustices far greater than that, and stories of people who were killed who should not have been killed happening all over the world all the time. I think he just must be a wreck.
Talk a bit about those who may have initially been considered for questioning or testimony at these hearings, but bowing to public pressure, were either not invited or disinvited to the hearing.
Well, that is one unfortunate aspect of the King hearings, that despite his protestations that he was not going to be cowed by political correctness and not going to be cowed by the media elites accusing him of racism and bigotry and so on, in league with the Islamic supremacists, that he was going to press forward, he actually did cave to pressure real easily, and he originally was going to call Ayaan Hirsi Ali, the courageous ex-Muslim women's rights activist, and then when there was pressure about her, he dropped her. He was going to call Walid Fares, a Lebanese Christian terror analyst, one of the top terror analysts in the country. He dropped him when the Islamic supremacists complained. And he also preemptively stated that he wasn't going to call me and a few other people. And, you know, it's kind of, that puts me in a peculiar position because I don't want to make it that I'm just upset that he didn't call me. But there was a pattern here that he's, all the people he's not calling are people who the Islamic supremacist groups have targeted and are trying to discredit, while he's calling people who are acceptable to them. He's allowing them to call the tune, which is not really a way to carry out effective hearings.
So what do you think was shown overall, kind of big picture, by the King hearings?
I think that the main thing that came out of the King hearings was that we see that the fury and hysteria coming from the Islamic communities in the United States and the leftist media about this shows they do know that there's something that they have to hide, and they want to make sure that King doesn't find it. And so I think that the reaction itself, more than the hearings themselves, was telling, and I hope that it will be followed up upon.
What is it you think that these American groups with Muslim groups have to hide?
Well, I think there is jihad terror activity and plotting going on in American mosques. I think that's clear from the jihad plots that we've seen in America, done by Muslims in America. They're not operating in a vacuum. Every time one of these guys is arrested, we hear the local mosque in whatever area saying, oh, no, we never knew this guy, we never saw him. But that starts to ring hollow when we see how devout these people invariably are. And they explain their actions in terms of Islam and jihad and the Quran and Muhammad. And then we're supposed to believe that they never went to the local mosque. The local mosque is obviously covering its tracks and trying to avoid unwanted scrutiny. But it's clear that something is going on and there needs to be further investigation.
What kind of investigation do you think is appropriate?
I think that we need to investigate what's being taught in the mosques, the textbooks that are used, the other texts that are used, probably monitor the sermons and so on. This is not about freedom of religion. Nobody's saying they can't go to the mosques and can't pray, but we need, if we have evidence, and I think we have abundant evidence, that seditious activity is going on in many American mosques, then we need to know what's going on in them, what's being taught in them. And American Muslims who are genuinely loyal to the United States will have no problem with that and will welcome investigators.
You mentioned before that there is a victimhood narrative being pushed by many Muslim groups in the U.S. What is it, and how would you respond to it? 1 minute, Robert.
The victimhood narrative is designed to deflect attention away from jihad terror activity in the American mosques and to make people think that Muslims are being unfairly victimized and that they need special protections because they are being victimized. And so it's a big diversionary tactic, and it proceeds by means of hate crimes against Muslims, many of which have been faked by Muslims themselves in order to gain this victim status. CARES hate crime report that they put out every year is full of fake incidents. And so it's all just part of the game, you know?
Robert Spencer is director of Jihad Watch and author of several books on Islam, including his latest, The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran. You can purchase this book at our website, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen on Demand page. Robert, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to be talking with Uwe Simonetto. Staying on the subject of Muslim extremism, Uwe has written recently that many scholars have been noting an ally relationship, perhaps unintentional, between liberal Protestantism and Muslim extremism. It goes a little like this. Liberal Protestant Bible scholarship has undermined the Bible. Well, Muslims have noticed this in the last 100 years or so and said, wait a minute, if Christianity itself doesn't even affirm its own book any longer, maybe it is a false religion. And their religion, of course, calls for them to eradicate such a false religion. We'll investigate that a little bit with Dr. Uwe Simonetto after this.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The beautiful shoreline, the calming sound of Lake Michigan, the glorious sunrise, the warm June afternoons. This is Wisconsin Lakeshore Luther Hostel on the campus of Concordia University, Wisconsin, June 11th through the 14th, 2011. The program? Dr. Paul L. Meyer, professor of history at Western Michigan University and frequent guest on Issues Etc. Hit the topic, the Crescent and the Cross. Islam and Christianity. Dr. Meyer will cover the historical background of Muhammad, the rise of Islam around the world, the beliefs and practices of this world religion, and what its future may hold. In addition, the 4-day, 3-night Luther Hostel includes interesting day trips to area attractions. For details how you can register for Wisconsin Lakeshore Luther Hostel, sponsored by the Concordia Bible Institute on the campus of Concordia University, Wisconsin, Visit the Concordia Bible Institute website at www.concordiabible.org or phone 262-243-4343.